The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
You're listening to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. The Holy Spirit is the subject of our current series, which we're calling Spirit Works. Dr. White has a few thoughts to share as we begin this broadcast.
And welcome on this midweek back to Word for the World. I am Dr. Randy White, and it is Spirit Works that we've been discussing, the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, yesterday, we began to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit among those who are born-again believers. How does the Spirit work within the believer? Now, in coming days, we'll be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. That certainly is a work of the Holy Spirit in the believers, but today we're talking about the giftedness that the Holy Spirit gives, the charisma or the grace gifts that are ours, those of us who are believers that come by the Holy Spirit for the purposes of God. Now, we're going to repeat just a little bit of yesterday's sermon so that you can get back in the groove, so to speak, and understand what we're speaking about here as we consider this very important topic of the work of the Holy Spirit. You can get yesterday's broadcast at randywhiteministries.org. Go to the Listen Online page, look for the Spirit Works series, and find part one of How the Holy Spirit Works Among the Saved.
Now, not only does he give spiritual gifts, but I also want to say that not only does he give spiritual skills, but he also gives spiritual gifts. They're the skills we've talked about. Now let's talk about spiritual gifts. Physical skills, spiritual gifts. Or material skills, non-material gifts. So let's talk about a moment about that, the spiritual side, the non-material side. You know, you need to know, first of all, that there is a difference between spiritual gifts and gifted people. Difference between spiritual gifts and gifted people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapters 12 through 14. We're going to look at several passages there today, and I wish I just had the time to teach those three chapters, 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, because those are the three chapters which more than any in the Bible teach us about spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at several of those passages as we come along here. But in chapter 12, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Now, if you were to look in the print version, what you would see is the word gifts is not there. It really says concerning, well, let me give you the Greek word, pneumatikos. Concerning pneumatikos. The best translation of it is spiritual gifts or the things of the Spirit, the pneuma, the Spirit of God. In fact, we get an English word from it, and that's pneumatic. Some of you work with tools, and you know what a pneumatic tool is, don't you? It's one that works with what? Air. You can't see it, but there's a tremendous power that comes from it. And so here he says, concerning the ability to accomplish something with a tremendous unseen power. concerning those spiritual gifts, those pneumaticos, he says, I do not want you to be, the Greek word again is agnion. It's the same word from which we get our English word ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about some of these things. I want you to be aware. I want you to understand. So concerning gifts, Paul says, pneumaticos, spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know some things. And then he begins to teach some things. And he teaches that there are gifted people, but then there are those individuals as well who have a pneumaticos, who have a spiritual gift, who have an ability to carry out the working of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. Now, we mentioned this just briefly last week, and from this verse of scripture, I want to say that these are not spiritual gifts. These are gifted people. An apostle was a gifted person, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and teacher. They are gifted people. Those are offices. Those are positions. And there's a difference between spiritual gifts and gifted men and gifted women. Now, what are spiritual gifts then? Spiritual gifts are, let me give you another Greek word, charisma. Charisma. K-A-R-I-S-M-A. That's what spiritual gifts are. They're charisma. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now remember right here in chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about the pneumaticos, the spiritual gifts. But in verse 4, it says there are a variety of gifts. Now, in verse 4, when it says there are a variety of gifts, it doesn't use the word pneumaticos. It uses the word kairos. It uses the word charisma. There are a variety of charisma. There are a variety of gifts that the Lord gives you. In fact, it's the same word from which we get the word charismatic.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith? Or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
One more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. It says, yet I wish that all men were even as myself am. However, each man has his own gift or his own charisma from God, one in this manner and one in that manner. What are spiritual gifts? They are these grace gifts, the blessing that comes down to God. Let me give you several possible charisma. Some might have the charisma or the spiritual gift of teaching. They have the ability to open up the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and explain the Word of God in a clear way. Now, you know that, let's take something like giving directions. You know some people have the gift of giving directions and others don't? Have you ever realized that? You can listen to one person give you directions, and you will be so lost by the time you follow those directions, you're going to end up in North Africa and the Middle East. Another person can lead you from the same place to the same destination and give you just a few words and boom, you can see it, you can get there, you don't even have to write it down, you understand it. Some people have the gift. Now, when it comes to teaching, charisma, one of the charisma is teaching, the ability to understand and communicate God's word. Some have the charisma or the gift of ministering one-on-one. They are just loving and caring and tender-hearted and generous when it comes to a person of need, one of the least of these, and they have that gift of ministering or that gift of service, and they are able to carry it out. Some have the gift of administration. the gift of being able to take all the pieces and put them all together and make it all work and make sure there's not a train wreck. Some people have the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation is different from teaching the truth, because teaching is the ability to communicate the truth, and exhortation then is the ability to take that truth and lead to results. They exhort you to action. They lift you up and move you on. Some of you have the gift of giving. And by the way, normally with the gift of giving comes the gift of getting. God has enabled you just to like the old mythological figure, everything you touch turns to gold. And you become a person of means, and yet that does not become your end. You take that and you are able to give it away. Some have the gift of mercy. They are able to open up their heart and feel compassion towards others. Some have the gift of faith. They are able just to always step out on an unbelievable amount of faith. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we could go on and on and on and take those and mix those up in various matters. But these are the charisma that God has provided. Another thing I want to say about spiritual gifts, number three, is that spiritual gifts are given by God's sovereignty. Spiritual gifts are given by God's sovereignty. This is a key point. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Where the scripture says, but one and the same Spirit works in all of these things. What things? Well, he's just told us about some of these things, like teaching and ministry and administration and exhortation, giving and mercy and faith. And one and the same Spirit works in all of these things, distributing to each one individually, catch this phrase, just as he wills. Just as he wills. Now, why is that important? That's important because a spiritual gift should never become in your life an object of desire. You see, God's the one in charge here. And God's the one who knows what spiritual gift you need, knows when you need it, how much you need it, and for when you need it. And so God comes and he blesses according to your desire, right? No, thank you. Glad Emmett's away. No, he comes and he gives to you as he wills. As we looked in Romans chapter 9, we'll leave it at that, this last Wednesday night. And the scripture says it's not the one who desires or the one who wills, but it is God who saves. And here, the giving of charisma is not according to my desire, not according to my effort. And so that charisma, that gift, should never be an object of desire. Now, if you think about it a little bit, you have met some individuals or you have heard some teachings down through the ages that talk about how you should earnestly desire this particular gift. Now, we're going to come into a scripture that has that in just a moment. But they will say, look, everyone who is really spiritual ought to desire, usually speaking in tongues is the gift that they would use. They say, that's what you ought to aim for. That's what you ought to work for. But that goes against the grain of God is sovereign, doesn't he? So the gift does not become an object in and of itself, an object of desire. And if God is sovereign in the giving of gifts, then the giving of gifts is not a sign of spirituality. Some would say, well, because I've got this gift, I'm more spiritual than you are. No, you've got that gift because God decided to give you that gift, and you ought to fall down on your face and say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Doesn't mean you're more spiritual. You might even be less spiritual than the guy next to you. But God has given you a gift because he is sovereign and he knows what he's doing.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, as we continue on, number four about spiritual gifts is that spiritual gifts are given to every believer. They're given to every believer. And we've looked, in fact, even in this this verse right here in verse 11, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Given to every believer. You've got one if you're a born-again believer. You may not know what it is yet. It may not have come to the surface yet, but God has gifted you. Number five, spiritual gifts have a difference in value. I know this is a little offensive to us because we live in a world where we want to put everyone on an equal plane, don't we? We live in a world where we don't want to have any winners and we don't want to have any losers. I was visiting with someone not long ago who told me about their school in another place and said, well, we don't give grades where we're from. I thought, what kind of cockamamie idea is that? But you know what it comes from, don't you? It comes from that idea that if we were to cause someone to think they actually were a failure in grammar, that they would feel bad and they would never get good at it. I tell you what motivated me. It was in the third grade when I came home with that D on my report card in math. I still have a D in math, but sometimes we need to recognize that we might not be good in something. And there is a difference of value. Come to a sports event, how boring would it be if we didn't keep score, right? I mean, all the purpose and the object is just taken out. You get over this idea that everyone has to be on this equal playing field and everyone's got the same stuff. I think that's called socialism or communism, one of those. And here in our capitalistic society, we don't believe that. We believe there are different values. And in the scripture, when it comes to spiritual gift, there are different values, all valuable, but different values as it relates to spiritual gifts. Let me share some scriptures with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it says that God has appointed in the church. Now, these are both appointments and spiritual gifting. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Remember the scripture we looked at several weeks ago about how the foundation was in the apostles and the prophets. And then, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing and helps and ministration, various kind of tongues. Everyone's not an apostle, are they? Everyone's not a prophet, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? And he goes on to speak about that value. Now, if you turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. He says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Now, I don't want you to take that out of context. What he's saying is, hey, it'd be great if everyone had this gift of tongues as he defines it there. We'll have to look at that another time. I wish you all spoke in tongues, even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues. Now, you go down to verse 19 of chapter 14, and look what he says. However, he says, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. I think what he's saying is that the gift of exhortation and the gift of teaching is of greater value in the church than the gift of speaking in tongues. So there are differences in value. And then finally, number six, spiritual gifts must be used in love. God has given you a charisma, a spiritual gift. I hope that you begin to understand and discover what it is and begin to use that. But as you do, you must use it in love. Remember, I told you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 are about spiritual gifts. The one you know the best is chapter 13, which is what chapter in the Bible? It's the love chapter, and it's right smack dab in the middle of Paul's teaching about spiritual gifts. Take it in context, then. Sure, you can apply it to the love of a friend to a friend, or the love of a husband to a wife, all those different applications, but primarily the love chapter applies in its context to the expression of your spiritual gifts. In fact, you remember how he starts? He says, if I speak with tongues, with the tongues of men or of angels, Maybe I have the gift of exhortation, or maybe I have this ecstatic utterance. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but you remember what he says? But do not have love, I am what? It's a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I was hoping to get some sound effects. That wasn't noisy at all, but had to wake up the drummer. Thank you. A noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, do that over and over again for just a minute. How'd you like 45 minutes of that? But I preach for 45 minutes and people come to the back door and say, hey, why didn't you go an extra 10? Thank you. What it takes is love. You take whatever spiritual gift and you don't have love, you're a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I say this because every now and then someone will come along and they just sort of pride themselves on their gift and the way they carry out that gift with an utter disregard for a person's heart and a person's condition. They say, well, that's my spiritual gift. And they say, I just don't have the gift of mercy. Their tongue so sharp they could trim a hedge. Listen, that is not the way God wants you to carry out your spiritual gift. Say, I got the gift of teaching and they are so wrong, I'm putting them in their place. And if you do not have love, you are a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Said, but man, I'm filled with faith, such as so that I could move mountains. I have all these prophetic utterances that come to me, and I understand things that no one else understands. And I give my possessions to feed the poor, and I deliver my body to be burned. But you do not have love, it profits you what? Nothing. Nor does it profit the kingdom of God. So as you come and you begin to express your charisma, your spiritual gift, you understand that it must be done in love.
That's exactly right. It must be done in love. I know that you know that, and I know that, but we don't always carry it out, do we? And so it's good today to end with this encouragement to take your gift and use it in love. We've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in this series we're calling Spirit Works. It's available from our website, 5 sermons on CD, or 5 sermons in a download, or you can download the individual sermons like today's, How the Holy Spirit Works in the Life of the Saved. It's a $2 download, a donation of $2, or we'll get the CD to you for $5, or we have information on the entire series that's available to you at the website, or call us today at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. After just a little information, our announcer will repeat that number one more time if you'd like to call and get the Spirit Works or our absolutely free DVD on the Antichrist. There's no shipping. There's no charge for the DVD. There's no charge for the phone call. Give us a call today or even email me, randy@randywhiteministries.org.
Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org. www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Penn Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer lives, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Well, it's midweek here at friendofzion.com, and we have been looking this week at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, which gives us, I believe, a prophetic outline of the return and reestablishment of the Jewish people as the chosen people of God and even for their salvation. Now, the outline goes like this in Zechariah 3, verse 7. The first thing is that the people of God, Israel, will begin to walk in my ways and perform my service. I believe that is, they'll once again begin to be faithful to the Mosaic law. The scripture says, then if you do that, you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. This is a word about the temple, my house and my courts. It doesn't refer to the government. It refers to the temple. I believe the next thing that's going to happen in the prophetic calendar as it relates to Israel anyway is the reestablishment of the temple, the rebuilding of the temple. Oh, there may be many things that take place in the world that bring about the ability for that to happen. And I think there are several things in Scripture that we could say, here's how God is going to work that really miracle of allowing the Jews to rebuild the temple. But I think we'll see it perhaps after the rapture, in which we'll see it from heaven, or before the rapture, in which we'll see it here. But we'll see, I know, the reestablishment of the temple. And then there is the finality of this one verse outline of progress, and that is, the Lord says, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. Well, free access among those who are standing here? Who's those standing here? It was the Lord Most High and the angel of the Lord, that is, the Messiah. See this prophetic plan? You'll come back into the land secular. Then you'll become Jewish. Then I'll allow you to rebuild the temple. And then I'm going to grant you free access. That is, then I'm going to give you a circumcision of the heart. That is, then I'm going to give you a new covenant. That is, then all of Israel will be saved. Now, this pattern I've noted in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, is shown over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament and the New. If you look at the Word of God as it relates to the renewal of the Jewish people, this is the pattern you've seen. Let's pray for the peace of Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this pattern revealed to us in Scripture. And already we see it coming to fruition, but someday the temple will be rebuilt. And over that, the only rejoicing that there can be is that it's a fulfillment of Scripture. But the great rejoicing will come after that, when the Jewish people once again will be granted free access to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is friendofzion.com, and I'm Dr. Randy White.